jam-packed weekend.
This is the Mizzou Sports Podcast, presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Mizzou Sports Podcast by the Columbia Daily Tribune. I'm Daniel Jones, the Tribune's football writer, and with me is Cameron Teague Robinson. As always, we got a big, big weekend ahead of us.
Huge weekend.
It is Thursday, and November 10th is a day that a lot of people have had circled on their calendars for a long time. It's a day that the Mizzou basketball team starts their 2017-2018 campaign with Michael Porter. Then a day later, Missouri football will host Tennessee on senior night with a chance to get one game closer to a bowl game. And on top of that, you have the Mizzou women's team, who also opens the season on Friday. So you just got a lot of things going on. Yeah. And here we are to talk about it.
Yeah, it's a ton. It's one of these weekends that, like you said, people have circled for a long, long time.
Yeah.
For us, it's like, I mean, we've been working so much like the last few weeks. It's just like, get over.
Yeah.
Let's get there. Like, just getting to the game will be nice just because you know all the work you've put in and finally kind of be done. And you can just kind of relax. And I don't know if it's relaxed because you're still working, but like,
right.
It's not like you're sitting at home writing for 14 hours a day. Like, we have been.
Exactly. Exactly. But, I agree. It has been a lot of work. And I think, in a way, like as you said, a lot of it's kind of looking forward to it being passed.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, I think there's just a lot of anticipation just because, you know, just like the fans have followed it closely, we've also followed it very closely.
Right, right.
And even though we don't have a rooting interest in it, it's kind of like, how does this thing play out?
Right.
How does this thing finish up? I think there's definitely that aspect to it for us on the journalistic side of it. So I will try to do my best to keep the sniffing to a minimum.
I'm sick.
I'm battling
a
cold.
The worst time of the year to be sick.
It might be the worst weekend of the entire year to have a cold.
Yeah, 100%.
But I feel it. I felt it start yesterday. Like, you ever get that, like, itching in your throat, and you're like,
I just, that's when I go to the grocery store, and I get, like, a pack of cough drops, and I just eat them all day.
I meant to do that. I actually, that was the first thing I did this morning was go buy cough drops.
Yeah.
This morning when I woke up, I had the sore throat. And the first thing that I did before I even, like, opened my eyes, I kind of, like, reached over and grabbed a cough drop and just ate the cough drop. And I've been popping them all day. And then I drove to the office and left them all at home.
Yeah.
So I don't have any cough drops.
That's
so now I'm struggling.
I once I was sick one time this summer, and I got a bag of cough drops, went to the Walgreens up the store.
Yeah.
And I left them in my car, hot day. I was like, I was in the office. I was like, I need some cough drops. So I went to my car, melted.
You like, had one big cough drop.
I couldn't, like, the wrapper was melted to the cough drop. I was like, I'm not eating this.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah,
what's your flavor of choice when it comes to cough drops?
I usually just grab the red one.
Okay.
It, like, used to work. Like, once something works once, I stick with it if I'm sick.
Cause that's it.
I hate being sick.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
So in college one time, I used to drink, what's the name of it? It's like this energizing, no, it's not energizing, just like a vitamin drink. It's called Bai.
Yeah, B-A-I.
B-A-I.
It's like the pomegranate, right?
Yeah, I used to drink that, and I used to get cough drops. I got it one time I was sick, felt better the next day. That's my go-to.
Every time.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Now, if it goes for like longer than a day or so, then I like start doing like real stuff. But like, the red cough drops are like my go-to.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like the yellow ones, the honey and lemon.
Okay.
Those are pretty solid. And then too, the ones we used to get like when I was, like my family used to get when I was a kid were the like smoothie ones.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen those?
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty good too.
Have.
So I don't know. I might go back and forth. I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't have like a superstitious cough drop go to. But it's cough drop season.
Yeah,
it's November.
Is.
It's cough drop season. So I'll be popping them, probably like candy tomorrow night at the basketball game. Speaking of basketball,
there's a basketball game being played tomorrow.
There is.
What?
There is.
And
not an exhibition. Not a secret scrimmage. It's real deal. The season starts.
Where have I been?
Who knows? I know where a lot of Columbia will be.
Yeah.
And that is at the game. Mizzou actually sold out their allotment of season tickets this year.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Sold 15,600 season tickets. Last year they sold 8,800. So you had 9,572 public tickets sold, along with 6,028 student tickets. Last year, they sold 5,800 public tickets and 3,000 student tickets. So both of those, the student one went up
doubled.
The public one went from 5,800 to 9,500.
Which is still pretty impressive.
Right.
Yeah.
So you get a lot of season tickets. That leaves
I wonder why people are excited.
I don't know. I guess we'll see tomorrow if something's different about the team. But yeah. That leaves something in the neighborhood of 20 seats that aren't sold by season tickets. I wonder what seats those might be.
Yeah, I wonder too.
If you walk up to the box office and you say, I want whatever you have left, and they go, here, where is that ticket?
I wonder how many people are sitting up in section 209 because they know us. We're like, every time you talk to Michael Porter Jr., he talks about like sitting in section 209 and watching those crazy games.
Michael Porter section.
Yeah. I wonder if they upcharge Michael Porter section. Just a sign on the top, Michael Porter section.
Right. They need to have like number 13 up there, his little jersey.
A flathead up there.
Or what they should do is like paint. They need to bring him up there and be like, okay, Michael, what seat did you sit
exactly.
in?
Exactly.
And then they paint that seat like gold already gold, but paint them a special color.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And then it'd be like the Michael Porter seat.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they should do.
Yeah, the top donor gets to sit in the Michael Porter seat. It's actually the worst seat in the house.
We're going to take you from your spot courtside up to section 209.
Exactly.
Cam, so what can you tell us about Iowa State, which back-to-back Big 12 tournament champions, they've been a really solid program under Steve Prohm.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about this program?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about just – how good they have been. Obviously, Monte Morris is a big part of that. That's kind of the guy you associate with them.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they lost pretty much a ton from last year. They returned one returning starter. They lost their four top leading scorers. They lost their four top leading rebounders. I think their top returning scorer is Donovan Jackson, a 6'2 guard. He was averaging 6.4 points last year.
Mm.
You're losing a lot of production
right.
From last year's group. So it's kind of a, I don't want to say a rebuild season, but I mean, it's a rebuilding season for them. They do bring in one of the top freshmen in the country. I mean, obviously, Mizzou has a loaded freshman class. Iowa State was ranked, top 20?
Yeah, this is for the class of 2018. The one they just signed is really, really good with Talen Horton Tucker and a couple other guys.
Right. Yeah, Okay.
But they do have a big
freshman in Lindell Wigginton.
Yeah,
Five-star on Rivals, four-star on ESPN, four-star mm-hmm. on 247. That stuff kind of bounces around. But they, everybody knows how good this kid is. A very good, I think it's 6'1 guard, can score from multiple levels,
mm-hmm.
According to some of the coaches that post all the stuff on Rivals, very aggressive scorer, can score in multiple levels.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a hassle for Mizzou. But, I mean, Iowa State's not going to get away from what they've done. They're a team that likes to get up and down, and I think that kind of plays to what Mizzou wants to do. I mean, you look at this roster, and they're built to get up and down the floor.
Yeah.
So I think that this should be a very – I mean, if you're talking about first game of the year, sold-out game, this is kind of what you want, two teams who are really trying to find themselves. Like, Iowa State's finding themselves. Mizzou may have more talent, but these are all new guys.
Right,
Two teams who are finding themselves and are really trying to get up and down the floor.
Mm-hmm. One thing I thought was interesting is, from what I saw today, Iowa State was favored in this game coming in. Think fair or unfair?
I wonder if it's towards, and it's really, if it's because people don't know what you get from Konto in this roster.
Right.
Like, you know what you're going to get from Prom. It's an unknown roster at Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
But to favor them coming to Mizzou
with
the talent, I think that's tough. Now, on KenPom... And KenPom's numbers are twisted just because, his numbers are set on, knowing what's going on. He doesn't account for, the variability and things of that nature. I think he said it was, the third closest game of the weekend
mm-hmm.
or the day, which, again, that's kind of shifted different ways because of Konzo and the freshmen and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I would not pick Iowa State as a favorite in this game.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
I don't think that... That they have quite the horses that Mizzou does coming into this game. And like you said, Wigginton is big. Donovan Jackson's a guy who comes back. But, he scored 6 points a game last year. That's like if Mizzou was looking at, I'm trying, Terrence Phillips is the only guy coming back.
Yeah,
like, okay, take over.
Exactly. You got it's Terrence Phillips and a very good freshman.
Right.
Like, go with us games. Like,
right.
I feel like, and that's nothing against Terrence Phillips, but just like, you wouldn't be favored to go anywhere.
Right. Exactly.
Just looking at those numbers.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think Mizzou definitely should be the. I think they should feel like they're going into this game with a better team, and I guess, yeah, maybe part of it's Konzo Martin against Steve Prohm.
Right.
But yeah, I thought that was interesting, but maybe there's just a lot of hesitancy with Vegas, like what this Mizzou team's going to do, and they definitely didn't look like. I mean, they looked pretty solid against Kansas, and. They hung with KU for a lot of that game, of course, led at halftime. But against Wisconsin, you know, the word that came out about that game, they didn't play very well, didn't shoot very well. We don't really know how the Missouri State scrimmage went.
Right.
But the word from the team was that they played a lot better. Right. Kevin Puryear said it was they played pretty well on that game.
Which leads me to believe they won that game.
Right.
Right.
And so I'm – well, yeah, I would hope so.
Yeah,
I can't imagine Kevin Puryear saying that.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
We lost by one, but well, we played really well.
Exactly.
But if like that score came out and was made public, maybe Mizzou would be a favorite.
Right,
maybe a lot of that's based on.
Well, Missouri State's gonna be
Wisconsin
a good team this year
or whatever.
As well.
They are gonna be a good team. Yeah. Yeah, they're the Missouri Valley favorite by a long shot. So yeah, I was surprised to see that. But what do you think about this Missouri starting lineup this year? For Friday. We'll talk about just Friday. We've been talking about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The guys that they'll have in the rotation. Kunzel said he was thinking about nine, so then we were like trying to figure out what nine guys. But what he said yesterday was that, and you did a whole story about this, Cassius Robertson is probably going to be the point guard. And
Cassius mentioned that Cullen Van Leer started at the two at Missouri State.
Which I think both of those things are pretty surprising.
Right, and he was saying, like, he's also played with Jordan Barnett at the two. Terrence Phillips has been at the two when he's at the one. That's really surprising. I thought Cassius was – I think he's still their best shooter, but I really thought he was going to be that kind of spot-up threat for them.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Like, catching and shooting.
Yep.
And Konzo even said – yeah, that's who I thought he was going to be, but he's actually
a lot better
ball handler than I expected him to be. But
I think he does give them different threats. Like, I was thinking about this last night. Can you imagine, and this is not going to work against, elite teams. Like, I'm talking, like, it's not going to work against Kentucky every possession or the Dukes or the Arizonas. Like, if you're talking about making a Final Four run, this isn't going to work every possession. But for most teams, on most possessions, pick and roll with Cassius Robertson and Jonte, or pick and roll with Cassius Robertson and Michael.
Yeah.
Like, you can't go under Cassius because he's the best shooter on the team.
Right.
You can't go over him. You can't go over it because then you're going to leave somebody else up. Like, that pick and roll aspect causes a lot of problems. It's going to cause a lot of problems for a lot of teams.
Yeah, and they did that a little bit against Kansas.
Yeah.
They did run a pick and roll with Michael. It's really not been a big part of, like, his game.
Right,
he's
right.
done just a lot of ISO stuff,
right, right.
like at Tolton, and
right.
didn't get to see him a lot in Seattle.
Right.
But that was a big part of his game. Like, if they can utilize him in that role, he'll be.
There won't be many teams. You're talking about a Cassius Michael Porter Jr. pick and roll. I don't think there's two teams in the country that can stop that.
Right.
There's probably two.
Yeah.
It's probably Arizona and Duke.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, other
than
that, there's nobody else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'll be we'll see. We'll see Friday night when they play. If you had to pick a starting five, who would you say would be the five?
If I wanted to win the game, this is what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I did Cassius at the one. You got to start Jordan Barnett in there somewhere, so I see him at the two.
Yeah.
Mike at the three. And then do you want to go Kevin Puryear or Jonte at the four? And then Jeremiah Tillman at the five. I'm kind of torn between KP and Jonte at the four. I would lean Jonte. But then at that point, you have to find a way to spell Jeremiah Tillman because he's bound to get in foul trouble.
Yeah.
It's his first game. Like, he's bound to get in foul trouble. it's going to happen.
It's just inevitable, yeah.
So that's where that kind of leaves. That's where it makes you think, like, you're going to see a lot of Reed Nico in there and things of that nature. But if that would be my starting five. I'd go Cassius, Barnett, MPJ, Jonte, Jeremiah. I think that starting lineup is dangerous offensively.
I agree with you. And that wouldn't have been the one that I might have, you know, like in June said. But
I would, the one I was thinking about the one I thought they would start the season with, and that was back before the Kansas game, was the starting lineup they had in Kansas.
Yeah.
It was Blake Harris, Cassius, Jordan Barnett. Who started the four? Oh, Mike and
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah, yeah.
And I think maybe when you get into the middle part of the season, if Blake Harris comes around a little bit,
right.
they might go back to that yeah. and start him and get him involved from the get-go. But I think part of it might be Blake Harris has got a lot of potential. Yeah. He's incredibly athletic. Yeah. It's one of his best traits. But got to kind of figure things out a little bit. And against Kansas, I thought he did okay. He didn't turn the ball over that well. He had a positive assist-to-turnover ratio, but still pretty young.
And Cassius mentioned it, and Kevin Puryear agreed in his availability yesterday. Cassius said, Konzo doesn't play around with defense. You have to defend.
Right.
And Kevin Puryear said that he thought Cassius was one of the best perimeter defenders on the team. So, I mean, that plays into that. Now, does Blake Harris turn that around? Like, you're going to see Blake Harris. Cassius isn't going to play the one all season, like every minute Friday.
Yeah.
I mean, he was talking about you're going to see times where Blake is in and you see Cassius at the two, or you see Terrence at the two, and that allows a little bit of versatility there as well. But like you said, Konzo doesn't play around with defense, so it leads me to believe, like, maybe Blake just hasn't come around to that defensive side. Because playing defense at college is totally different than playing defense in high school.
Yeah.
You're not more athletic than everybody. You can't just, like, rely on your athletic ability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see Mizzou starting, and this is kind of based on what we heard the other day, mm-hmm. more so than, like, what I think is their best lineup. But I could see Cassius at the one, Cullen at the two for maybe 5 minutes.
Right.
And then you start subbing him in. I could see Cullen Vanlier playing 12 to 14 minutes.
I think
a game.
You put him there. Some 15 minutes max is that probably a good spot.
Yeah. But I could see him starting a guy who's been around, mm-hmm. who's, you know, I guess you trust that maybe he won't be, you know, shaken by the moment.
Right.
I don't know. Although, maybe.
So that place, I think everyone's there going to be shaken.
Right. It's not like it's a situation they've been in before.
Right.
But I still, based on what we heard yesterday, that might be something that they roll with. And a lot of it kind of depends on matchups, too. Mike at the three. Jordan Barnett, or I guess Jordan at the three, Mike at the four, whatever you want to do there.
Right.
And then Jeremiah at the five.
Not bad. I could see that as well. The thing with Colin is, I mean, he's gonna knock down shots for you.
You hope. I mean, if that's the thing about this team is before those roles that everybody had, Cullen's three-point shooting, Terrence is scoring, Kevin Puryear scoring and rebounding underneath. I mean, they were so important.
Right. It's a little different now.
Yeah,
they're
now
role
that
players.
Pressure is eased. You know, you don't have to do all those other things. Kevin Puryear doesn't have to be a rebounding and scoring and passing machine.
Right.
And Terrence Phillips doesn't have to do all that. And Cullen Vanlier doesn't have to do all that either.
Right.
He doesn't have to guard the best guy on the floor.
Right.
He doesn't have to be the guy facilitating the offense.
He just has
it's
to...
like, Cullen, your job is to knock down a shot.
Right. If you're open, just knock it down.
Right.
That's your job.
Yeah. And it just, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been shaky. He's had moments when he's been really, you know, pretty solid, and also moments where he wasn't. So how big was Cassius Robertson to this team? Just flew under the radar, you know? Like, everybody was, it was Michael Porter hysteria.
Yeah. Well, I was just writing about it in the team preview for the basketball preview that's going to be out tomorrow. It's just like, I mean, you're writing down like all these freshmen, this number four ranked recruiting class. Like you got Michael, Jonte, Jeremiah, CJ Roberts, Blake Harris, all top 150 guys.
Yeah.
And then there's just Cassius, who's probably going to be probably the most important player on this team.
Maybe. I mean, he might lead the team in minutes this year, honestly.
He led them in minutes against Kansas.
Yeah, yeah. I could see him playing 35 minutes a game, you know, 32, 35 minutes a game, because he's senior guy.
He's he's going to knock down shots.
Right.
You know, he's going to play defense.
Yeah.
And that's what Konzo wants.
And if he's your starting point guard, you're relying on him to not only facilitate the offense, but guard the best guard on the other side.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge role.
Oh, 100%.
So big, big, big offseason pickup for the Tigers to get Cassius Robertson. Okay. So that kind of wraps up our preview of Friday's game. We'll do a post-game Facebook Live / podcast from the arena after.
Yep.
But we will kind of keep an eye on the women's basketball team, which starts Friday as well. They'll play Western Kentucky in Iowa City. Western Kentucky did make the NCAA tournament this year or last year. I did a story on the women's basketball team for today's paper, Thursday's paper. They also had media day on Wednesday. It's a ton of excitement around the women's basketball team, which is coming in as maybe one of the you know, the most hyped women's basketball teams in Missouri history. There's only a couple, I want to say three, maybe four times ever that they've entered the season ranked in the top 25. They come in this year at number 16. There's a lot of good feelings from Robin Pinchin yesterday because last year, her quote that resonated with me last year they entered this time, first week of the season, with seven healthy players.
Yeah.
Like, we have more people that show up
at
for
the
trip
down.
Like downstairs for pickup basketball on Monday night. Seven players. That it was so dire, they didn't even participate in a like team scrimmage at the Black and Gold at Halloween and Hoops last year.
Yeah.
They were like, we don't have enough people to play.
Yeah, exactly.
So
now, bust around three half court.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. But this year, you know, they have a huge freshman class coming in, and then they add Kayla Michael, formerly Kayla McDowell. She got married in the offseason.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Cameron Michael. Shout out Cameron Michael. I like your name.
Yeah, Cam's a big fan of Cam Michael. But Kayla Michael and Jordan Frericks both come back. They missed the opener last year due to injury. Jordan Frericks missed the entire season. Kayla Michael missed the beginning of the year with a hamstring injury. Both of them are back. Did a story on them a little bit.
I don't want to interrupt you.
Today's paper.
I was there for both scrimmages.
Women's scrimmages.
Yeah. Jordan Frericks looked incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was doing absolutely everything. A blocking shot, stealing. Like,
mm-hmm.
the way they're going to run their press, Jordan Frericks is going to be is going to be just everywhere.
Yeah.
She's going to have a pretty big year.
And
it gives you a chance to give that, Sierra Porter down there. Like, their post play is so set.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about Jordan Frericks, Kayla Michael, Sierra Porter. Like, those are three solid posts.
Which is huge for that team because last year they were going into the SEC and NCAA tournament with the post Sierra Porter, just go down and go to work. Like, that was it. And they were a three-point shooting team, often to their own detriment in that SEC tournament game that they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least, I would say, I don't have the numbers, probably half of the shots they took in that game were three-pointers.
Oh, yeah.
That was the team they had to be because they didn't have the horses underneath, and now they do with Kayla Michael and Jordan Frericks. And like you said, I mean, she was second-team All-SEC as a junior
because
she not only scored but did all those other things, rebound, block shots, do everything. So a huge piece for that team. And this question wasn't asked yesterday, probably for the better. I mean, because if you're Robin Pinchin, there's probably not a good way to answer it, but that team last year with Jordan Frericks would have been really,
really good.
And maybe it was a blessing in disguise to get her this year. She redshirted last year and to get her this year instead.
Oh, man.
But
they're going to be good.
They are going to be a very
deep
good
too.
Team.
Like, I know you're going to touch on them, but they are very deep this year.
Yeah, they're newcomers. So they have Haley Troop from Gadsden, Alabama, Kelsey Winfrey from Lebanon, Nadia Green from Chicago, Elle Brown from Rockbridge, and Emmanuel Tahan from France. We actually got to meet her yesterday. A really loaded freshman class. Robin said it was probably the most athletic freshman class I've ever brought in. There's a lot to be excited about. A lot of playmakers. They have scoring on the inside, on the outside.
Yeah.
They're going to be a good rebounding team and ranked 16th going into the season. They will play either Iowa or Quinnipiac on Saturday, depending on how they do against Western Kentucky and how the other side of the bracket shapes out. Their season opener, or I guess home opener, will be Thursday, I believe,
Wright State.
It was Wright State.
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Right, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
I don't want to cut you off.
That was going to wrap up women's basketball, move to football.
Okay.
What's your thought?
I'm going to jump right back to basketball really quick.
Yeah.
We have not talked about recruiting.
Oh, that's a good point. So today was the second day of the
early signing period. And it's a good thing I felt my phone vibrate because Mizzou just confirmed the third signing. Mizzou was expected to get three signings in early signing period.
Right, yeah.
KJ Santos, a USC transfer, Javon Pickett, who was originally in Illinois, decommitted, and is at Sunrise Academy, Christian Academy.
In Wichita.
In Wichita. And then Torrance Watson, a senior at Whitfield in St. Louis.
Yeah.
KJ and Javon signed yesterday, and Torrance Watson just made his signing a few minutes ago.
Okay. So class of 18 is starting to take shape.
Yeah, and it's big for them because, you're looking at guys like Jordan Barnett, who's going to be gone.
Yeah.
Cassius Robinson, who we just raved over, is going to be gone.
Right.
And who you'd expect, Michael Porter Jr. is probably going to go to the NBA draft.
Yeah.
I mean, I know people are holding on hope, but he's.
I think we got to be the voices of reason.
Exactly.
We got to go into every conversation about next year, has to be gone. With Michael Porter out of the picture.
So you have three wing spots you have to fill.
Yeah.
Torrence Watson does it on every level.
Yeah.
Class 3 All-State player last year. Mm-hmm. Hit 26 and 11 in losing calls in the state championship game last year.
Mm-hmm.
KJ Santos, very good shooter. Does a lot for them. 6'8 forward, can kind of play a little bit everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then Javon Pickett. Each of these guys had tons of, Division One interest coming into the year. So these are three good pickups for them. Rivals had them 44th nationally.
Mm-hmm.
Six in the SEC. I think they have the second most signings in the SEC with three in the early signing period. So good. I mean, it's a good start 2018. Now, just still some other spots where they want to improve or pick up some people.
Certainly.
The biggest name, Courtney Ramey.
Right.
Webster Groves in St. Louis. But it's a good start for them.
The early signing period will end a week from Wednesday.
Yes, and then the spring signing period is April 11th, please.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there'll be a big gap. Football signing day will come and go between then.
Yeah.
And now, but yeah, it was a good start for Mizzou, which is getting three. I mean, I can't remember the last time they had a fall signing day with this much behind it. Yeah, but it was
4-star and Torrence Watson and 2 3-stars and Santos and Pickett.
Right. Yep. Guys who can kind of, I guess if you're a Mizzou fan, hopefully carry that momentum that was generated at the beginning of this season.
And then one last thing on basketball before we go to football.
You're hijacking our
podcast. Yeah, I know, right? It's a basketball podcast today. Screw football. I just wanted to plug the Mizzou basketball preview.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah.
If you listen to the podcast, it's going to be in Friday's paper and online Friday. A lot of good stuff. Myself, our intern Nick Kelly.
Just call him intern.
Yeah, exactly.
Intern. Intern wrote a couple stories.
He did a lot of work on the women's side. I wrote the cover story kind of on the Porter family and just, I guess, how important this year is to them.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the basketball side, but just, I mean, with them being away from each other for a year, being back, this is probably the last year they'll all be together in the same state.
Yeah, crazy to think about.
Yeah, so just on them kind of cherishing this year. Some very cool stories from a lot of people who know them pretty well. This is one thing I try to do in that story is try to get stories from people outside of the Porters because everybody hears from them, you know what I mean? And then I'll have a feature on Michael Porter Jr. in the paper as well. And then Nick has a story on women's basketball point guard Lauren Aldridge.
Okay.
So, yeah, should be good stuff.
Law student Lauren Aldridge.
Law student, former Jayhawk Lauren Aldridge.
Former Jayhawk. She did. She crossed state lines.
Yeah. Chose for the better, though.
There will be plenty of people that agree with that statement.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so can we get to football?
Yeah, we can go football.
Okay.
Time's up.
A lot of excitement. That's it. That's all the time we have. Yeah. No, we do have a little bit of football to talk about.
Yeah.
First of all, it is senior night Saturday when Mizzou hosts Tennessee, so we'll kind of run through real quick the seniors that will make their last appearance at Faurot Field this weekend. First of all, I'm just kind of going to go here what the Mizzou Tiger release was kind of leading into the game, but this senior class had 9 guys that played in the 2014 championship game against Alabama. You have 553 career games played, 179 career starts, 654 tackles, 52.5 tackles for loss, and then you had on the offensive side 204 receptions for 2,879 yards and 26 touchdowns.
How many of those did Jamon have?
A lot. Jamon Moore had 137 receptions for 2,135 yards and 19 touchdowns in 46 games as a Tiger. So here's the list of seniors. So it'll be Alec Ablin from the offensive line, Eric Beisel, linebacker Joey Burkett, defensive back Logan Cheadle, wide receiver Dominic Collins, defensive lineman Marcel Frazier, defensive lineman and captain Jordan Harrell. Eric Beisel is also a captain. Defensive back Anthony Hines, offensive lineman Tyler Howell, defensive lineman A.J. Logan, wide receiver Jamon Moore, offensive lineman Adam Pludra, tight end Jason Reese, wide receiver Cameron Rivers, offensive lineman Adam Rowland, defensive back Anthony Sherrills, defensive back Thomas Wilson, and running back Ishwitter. So all those guys will make their final appearance at Faurot Field this week against Tennessee. And this Vols team that's coming in this weekend, second team in a row, I would say, that is coming into Memorial Stadium in a pretty much a state of upheaval.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you can, like, stages of an earthquake, like, you're starting to feel the tremors, like, around the, like, yeah. the Tennessee program. And it's like the earth is going to open up and Butch Jones is going to fall exactly. in the crack, like, in the movie. Middle,
right at the end of the game, just is going to open and Butch is going right. to fall.
Yeah, or Neyland Stadium, just the yeah. fault line yeah. shifts and yep. Butch Jones goes down to the bottom. He hasn't been fired yet. I imagine he'll be the coach Saturday, considering the game's in 2 days. We're kind of one, I mean, came into this game thinking it might happen.
Yeah.
The game against Southern Miss, Tennessee won last week, but it wasn't a blowout by any means. If they would have lost that game, it might have been closer. They might have just pulled the plug there. But Butch Jones will be the coach coming in this week. And I tell you, the Tennessee offense hasn't made his job any safer. This is a disaster of an offense, yeah. essentially. The passing game in particular, and part of it is because they've had no stability at quarterback. Their week one starter, Quentin Dormady, got hurt midway through the year and had shoulder surgery, so he's been out. So then they went to redshirt freshman Jarek Guarantano, who hasn't been that good right. For Tennessee, been really inconsistent. He got hurt in the first quarter of the game against Southern Miss, and they might have to go with true freshman Will McBride if Guarantano can't play. The latest word on him was that it was a day-to-day thing. They were going to go through a rundown on Friday before they came to Missouri, see how he felt, and then make a decision after that. That is per Blake Topmeyer, former Tribune.
I know that name.
Familiar. Former Tribune writer and now covers the Tennessee Volunteers for the Knoxville News Sentinel. So that was Blake's report, and we'll keep an eye on that, on who will be starting a quarterback, but it might not much matter.
Yeah, I mean, and if you unfollowed Blake because he left, you should refollow him.
Until Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
unfollow him.
Now, yeah, definitely give Blake a follow this week. He'll have lots of updates on Tennessee football. Well, actually, Nick Kelly talked to him for our On the Beat with the Tennessee right. Volunteers this week, so Blake Topmeyer's voice will be back
in the paper.
Back in the paper on Saturday.
Have to frame the paper.
That's right. Triumphant return. The prodigal son returns.
Yeah, right.
And Blake Topmeyer. So anyway, yeah, the Tennessee passing attack is kind of a disaster. The defense isn't too bad. They're definitely a better unit than Missouri saw against Idaho or Connecticut. Maybe, I don't know. We'll just kind of see how they stack up against Florida. Florida came in as a team that obviously didn't want to be there. I mean, that was
pathetic.
Pathetic. It was painfully obvious. And yeah. I don't know if Tennessee, I imagine they'll have maybe a little bit more fight to them than Florida did. But, I mean, it's really a team in a pretty similar situation, I guess, fighting for a bowl berth. But, yeah, they have a pretty good pass defense. They allow 150 yards passing per game, which I believe is the best in the SEC, but their run defense is not very good. They give up an average of 237 yards per game on the ground, and I'm looking here game by game, the fewest yards that they've allowed all season last week against Southern Miss, 118. So every team that they've played has pretty much, with the exception of Southern Miss, gotten to 120 yards rushing on the ground. So That
bodes well for Mizzou.
Does bode well for Mizzou, yeah. And I was going to say, if I'm going to pick a key player for Missouri going into this game, Ishwitter.
Yeah.
He was the guy. I know Larry Roundtree was...
had the touchdowns.
He did have the touchdowns. I think part of that's just because he's a bigger guy. He got the carries closer to the goal line, but I think Ish is going to be the guy right out of the gate. Probably a really good opportunity for him, because I could see Missouri going into this game against Tennessee with a similar game plan as they did against Florida. Yeah. Just run the ball and then let things... Yeah. In the run game, kind of open up the pass.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's kind of what I see there. On the flip side, Tennessee's passing attack is a disaster. They do have a really good running back in John Kelly, who's rushed for 730 yards and 8 touchdowns this season. He missed a game there in the middle of the year due to suspension. But for Missouri, the key player, I think, will be Cale Garrett. Can't get that Tennessee run game get going.
Yeah.
So if you kind of stop the run, get them into long passing downs, you can make Quarantano throw, and that's right. where you can really attack. Maybe get a turnover or two, but at least lessen the Tennessee attack from building drives right, and right. marching down the field.
Right, and that's a big thing for them. I mean, as on the offensive side specifically, like I like we've said the whole season, like I personally I think they're better when they start when they open the game on the ground.
Yeah, we've said that a lot this season.
Ish has played really well in Demario Crockett's absence. Larry Roundtree's played extremely well as well.
Yeah.
So you can get both those two going, it just opens up everything. And if they're able to open it, like begin the game successfully running the ball, I just don't know if there's a way for Tennessee to slow them down. Because
yeah.
If they're running the ball well, it's really hard to stop that offense because Drew Locke and Jamon and Albert O and Blanton and Emmanuel Hall, there's just so many weapons for them to go to once the run game's working.
Exactly. So a big game for Mizzou. If they win Saturday, they'll be 5-5.
Only got to go 1-2.
That's right.
Or 1-1.
They got to win two games from now. If they win Saturday, they just got to win one of their final two on the road. It'd be their first time back at 500 since week two, I guess, since they lost to South Carolina. Mm-hmm. They'd be 2-4 in conference, which would be that would equal the number of Southeastern Conference wins that they had last season. So it's a big game for Barry Odom, a big game for the Tigers to get to a bowl. I've seen a lot of people that project bowl games have had Missouri in the mix. Going to Memphis in the Liberty Bowl.
Memphis would be nice.
Memphis wouldn't be so bad. I haven't seen a lot of Shreveport Bowl projections, which makes me happy personally. I could pass on Shreveport.
Sounds fun.
I could talk to you.
I don't want
to
go. I'm saying it sounds fun for you.
Oh, it does? Yeah, okay. Yeah, it'd be fun if you went and I had the whole office to myself.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. No, I've seen a couple different ones. The Texas Bowl in Houston, and a lot of them have Missouri playing Iowa State is what I've seen so far. So, anyway, we'll keep an eye on that. Maybe we'll have more news on that in a couple weeks if Missouri does indeed secure bowl eligibility. So,
we're talking about locations Missouri teams can go.
Yeah.
This is very early, and it's completely meaningless.
Yeah.
But the first bracketology came out for a men's basketball team.
Yeah.
And they had them in Dayton in a playing game, which
really
I'm a fan of. Dayton, Ohio, got good friends there. I'm a fan.
Okay.
And then they had them in playing in Detroit for the first two rounds.
Interesting.
Again, big fan, a lot of friends.
You're just a big fan of the Rust Belt in general.
It's I like got going a lot of friends home, all over the Rust Belt.
That's what you...
I know a lot of people wouldn't want to go to Dayton and Detroit, but like I'm a fan.
You could just string for all the other outlets to cover Mizzou. You just use your story in like the Kansas City Star and the Post-Dispatch and
you guys
Associated
are
Press.
And they're listening. Just like Jeff Goodman listens and all these other people we listed last week.
Who were we talking?
Butch Jones.
Or Jim McElwain.
Yep, they all
listen. We have a number of listeners that we hear from on a frequent basis.
Exactly. They email us, letting us know that they listen today.
So true. This is something, we're about to wrap up, but this is something I was thinking about today that we could implement on the podcast. I didn't mention it to you at all before the podcast.
No, you didn't. I have no clue where you're
going. So I'm going to start and give you some time to think about it, but I'm thinking one thing we could do at the end of every podcast, Mizzou Sports Podcast, recommendation of the week. It could be sports. It could be food, music, consumer items, whatever is on your mind.
Okay.
It's like, I had a good experience with this. I'm going to recommend it.
To recommend consumer items?
Whatever.
My recommendation for this week, Apple over everything.
Okay. See, you took that in a really confrontational manner.
Well, people don't like that I love Apple in this office for some reason.
Well, it's not that you like it. It's your,
I'm
like,
an elitist.
Well, it is elitism. It is like, it's like you're willing, it's like a battle. It's like, I will ride Apple forever and screw everyone else that makes cell phones.
It was funny because I sent you that tweet yesterday. It was like, I don't know how many of you listen to this on iTunes specifically or have seen tweets from people who have iPhones, but like there's a autocorrect function where I think it's like, I don't have it. I don't know. I've never had it once. Mm-hmm. But like if you hit the quote mark and an I, it brings up like a question mark and a like a weird box. And somebody tweeted and goes, my iPhone could autocorrect every letter in my phone to a weird question mark and I still wouldn't get an Android. And I was just like clapping. I was like, this is the greatest tweet of all time.
I have an Android. Cameron sent me that tweet and said me. And I said, whatever, Cam. Whatever.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good idea, though.
Okay. I was kind of thinking on the way in what my recommendation of the week would be, and I don't have anything, like, set. One thing I have gotten into recently is a TV show, Curb Your Enthusiasm. I don't know if you've ever seen
this. I've heard about it. My friends talk about it all the time.
Yeah, I've been I've been using my roommate's Amazon Prime account to watch episodes of the show, and it's fantastic. Yeah, I love this show.
My friends make references to it, and I'm just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
That's
exactly what they do. Yeah,
so it's pretty solid. Yeah. It's a pretty good show. Yeah. And if I end up being sicker than I am right now next week, then I might be like typing away with the show in the background. From home. Yeah. So that's my recommendation. What's on your mind? What's the recommendation that you have besides just Apple products? That, you know, like blanket Apple products.
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, kind of sprung it on you. Like,
what have I been doing lately besides writing 87 times a day? I don't know. Okay, Caldi's downtown. That's my recommendation.
Yeah.
If you guys haven't been to Caldi's downtown, very good coffee, free Wi-Fi, very like calming place to kind of just sit down and work. Mm. I don't know if like you have to be good at working around people. Like I work best when I'm like when there's people there and I can listen to music because I'm weird. I like to people watch sometimes. Mm-hmm. So like it can give me like a quick break and I can just look around and see what people are doing and then kind of go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
But good coffee, good food. That's my go-to spot.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Next week you're gonna be at Caldi's and people are gonna be like, look at where's Cam?
Yeah.
Where's Cam?
Yeah.
I heard he was here.
Jeff Goodman, Butch Jones.
Yeah. Where's Cameron? I know he's here. Exactly. He said he comes to Caldi's all the time.
Exactly. No, that's the spot.
We'll open this up. I don't know what kind of feedback we'll get on this.
Yeah.
If you have a recommendation of the week, send it to us.
Yeah, you can email us, tweet us.
We'll pass them along.
On Facebook or
we'll kind of make that a staple of our podcast going forward.
And we could react to some of your
that's
recommendations.
That's true. And another one I have, I'll do two because it's the first week we're doing this. Last weekend, went to Bard Owl for the first time, restaurant right on Broadway. It was really, really good.
Really?
And they had this appetizer called whipped ricotta. It was fantastic.
Really?
It was awesome. So maybe check that out if you have time this weekend, you or our listeners or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Or Jeff Goodman comes to Columbia,
then he should go there.
Butch Jones, you're already going to be here. Might as well stop by.
Right, yeah. Saturday.
Steve Pine,
right,
you're listening too. I know you're listening. You go too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anything else wrapping up, talking about this big weekend in Mizzou sports this weekend?
No, it's going to be a fun weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Jam-packed weekend.
Jam-packed weekend. That happened in our last podcast, the high school sports podcast, if you missed it. I did clip that audio.
Did you?
I'm going to start inserting it. Maybe at the beginning of every podcast.
Jam-packed weekend.
All right. Well, you can follow our podcast on iTunes. You can subscribe. It's the Mizzou Sports Podcast by Gatehouse Media. You can follow Cameron on Twitter at CJ_Teague and me at Daniel_M_Jones. Read all of our work in the pages of the Columbia Tribune or at ColumbiaTribune.com.
Oh,
yeah, check out our banner.
Yeah.
We're like sponsored now. But that'll do it for...
It's sponsored by the place you work for.
Love our sponsors. That'll do it for us this week. You can catch us next week. We'll talk all about Mizzou basketball and Mizzou football.
Subscribe to Mizzou Sports Podcast at iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.